Well, there's an iconic 80s cheerleading MTV video. Oh, Mickey, Tony Basil. Hey, Globe Theater is presenting Bring It On, the musical. And it starts this weekend. And as a dad having nothing but girls in my household, I'm pretty familiar with the world of dance and cheer. My daughters entered that world. And at one point, we even went to Vegas for a cheerleading competition. It was kind of cool. And I know how large it still is. Even today, and this is going to be pretty popular. It's already been extended, this show. Jennifer Bruin is artistic director and is here now to share a few details. So let's start first with the storyline, Jen. How do you sum this one up?
Bring It On is all about dance and music, and it's a celebration of like competition and teamwork and betrayal and near tragedy and things like that. So it's got this beautiful epic content to it that kind of drives this beautiful and incredible dance work that's happening on stage. I mean, I'm blown away every time I sit in rehearsal and watch these 19 young people just give her. Like, yeah. They're dancing and they're singing and they're doing acrobatics and they're throwing each other in the air safely and they're laughing all the way through it. Like, we just had such an incredible time too that we keep watching this going, I think it's going to blow the roof off the Globe. It's so electric on stage.
I love hearing your passion in describing it. And I was just thinking how so many parents will relate to this along with their kids. And it's going to be a massive success because every other person has someone in dance or cheer and can relate to the extracurricular activities. And you even mentioned betrayal. Let's face it, we have young teenagers going through that in school. This is a perfect production.
Right? And it kind of honors that. Instead of belittling it, we actually go and say, no, that's all real stuff. It's the stuff of life. And it's the stuff that's going to turn them into human, like, adults. And how they navigate it is, I don't have to do that anymore. Like, I've kind of got those things figured out. But those kids are all sorting all that chaos out, and they're figuring it out. And so I have a lot of respect for what it is. And they do it through dance and song. Like, so it sort of feels like this great extension of those emotions. We were able to go to the Rebel Cheer Studio here in town at Gym, and Jasmine helped us out, and we trained for the first week. The whole team went over and trained. So, and they were so game, like, but they're dancers. Like, they just know how to move, and they know how to take care of each other and learn things. And they were so brave and hilarious, and hopefully a bunch of that will show up in the production.
How big is this cast, and is it homegrown?
There's 19. I would say the majority are from the prairies. We've got folks from Winnipeg, from Edmonton, and then we've got about 5 folks from Saskatchewan on stage. So, you know, like Sask Express and Do It With Class, they're training, showing up on our stage.
Jennifer Bruin, artistic director at Globe Theater for Bring It On, the musical, opening up on Friday night. You're still working through some construction at Globe Theater, aren't you?
Yes, I know it will end. We're all waiting to cross that finish line. So we're near the end. We can see the end in sight. This summer, a lot of the exterior work is going to be finished. We kind of entered in phases, and we're just in the final phase of it now. But it's been so exciting. People are coming. They're exceeding expectations of attendance, and people are just so embracing the range of work and the enthusiasm that just keeps us going.
Well, it sure is nice to hear the success of that beautiful new building has influenced right? The success of all the productions you've put forth since reopening as you have there. What's your general feeling? You work and live in Regina and you're downtown. Is this the start of a revitalization of downtown Regina for you?
Oh, you can feel it. It's been really kind of moving, actually. Like, we're an Avenue restaurant. You go to The Cure, Crave, any of those restaurants around the downtown. And when the waiter said, yeah, we've been so busy. And that's just like music to our ears. I know the future programming, as we sort of scaffold up as we get to know the building, is to have programming in there all day as well as in the evening, 7 days a week. So that we have play readings and concerts. You know, we teamed up with the RSO. They've been doing free noon-hour concerts on our stage, which has just been great. So people can bring their lunches and listen to the beautiful musicians play some really cool music. So it's stuff like that that hopefully the doors are open all the time and stuff is happening and people can really use it as a performance hub, as well as like the theater school. So, you know, it's just all ages and all stories being told.
Well, you got to run now till June 15th, and that was an extension of the original. So I wish you much success and that it may go longer.
Ah, bless. Thank you so much. Sometimes you wanna go where everybody knows your name. And they're always glad you came.
You wanna be where you can see. Yeah, so many people looking at their social media feeds, and you see it there. You hear it. Norm has left the bar. Cheer star George Wendt died yesterday. He was 76. No word on the cause of his death, but his family did say he died peacefully in his sleep at home. But he played Norm 11 seasons, 1982 to 1993.
Nice to meet you. What do you do, Norm?
I sit there.
It's a great line. It's entirely possible, too, that his second biggest career achievement came from SNL in 1991, a sketch called Superfans. You know, the Chicago guy who says,
"The Bears."
He once said, man, that took a life on of its own, and he's never lived it down. And several of George's Cheers co-stars are paying tribute to his parting this morning through social media. John Ratzenberger, who played Norm's buddy Cliff, said he is heartbroken. He said George was humble, hilarious, full of heart. Ted Danson said, "It's going to take me a long time to get used to this one. Love you, Georgie." And this morning, the actual Cheers bar in Boston, they've got a stool and a full beer sitting on the bar. It's reserved for Wendt. His picture beside the beer.
Good afternoon, everybody.
Oh, Norman.
But what would you say to a nice beer, Normie?
Going down.
He was married to the voice of Vera, Norm's wife on Cheers. You never saw her on the series, but you definitely heard her. Norm's never-seen wife, voiced by Bernadette Burkett, George's real-life wife. He'd met while performing at Second City Comedy Club. And how about this? He died yesterday, the same day that 32 years ago, just over 80 million people had tuned in to watch the final episode ever of Cheers.
You know what I think the most important thing in life is? It's love. You want to know what I love?
Beer, Norm?
Yeah, have a quick one.
That final episode of Cheers, the second most watched sitcom finale ever behind MASH. More than 80 million people watched it. The role earned him a few free drinks in life. He said, wherever I go, people are always sending over a beer, and he loved it. In addition to free beer, he was nominated for 6 Emmys. And for Wendt, being Norm wasn't just a role. It was a way to make people, he said, feel seen, welcomed, and at home. I was fortunate enough to meet George on the set of Cheers a number of years ago, and if you ever go to a television show that's only 30 minutes long and watch it being taped live before a studio audience, it takes about 3 hours, so there are a lot of different takes being taken and some downtime, and that's when the whole cast would wander around up close to where I was sitting in the front row, and they'd ask questions. George Wendt himself came right up to me as I sat there front row, put out his hand. I shook it. He said, "Welcome to Cheers. Where are you from?" And I told him, "Oh, Canada." And then he specifically said, "So what province?" I was kind of surprised. I said, "Well, Saskatchewan." He looked me straight in the eye and said, "Pilsners, eh?" Pretty memorable moment for me. Shocked that he knew of Pilsner. But post-Cheers, George was working right up to the end. In 2023, he was on The Masked Singer. He reunited with the Cheers cast to present an Emmy as they recreated the bar scene.
And if somebody has the envelope, we can present the award.
Yeah, that one right.
Hey.
So, Cheers. Let's raise a glass to George Wendt. After all, he made us laugh. He made us feel at home. And reminded us that sometimes the best characters and people are the ones who greet you like a regular.
Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name.
Wishing my Oilers well tonight. The Western Conference starts after last night's Eastern Conference got underway. An easy win for the Panthers, 5-2 over Carolina, who had had a few days off. Maybe that was the rush showing last night, but I still think the Panthers are going to win that series. And I think the Oilers, Canada's last hope for the Stanley Cup, will indeed beat Dallas. That game starts at 6 tonight. It's a best of 7. I think they're going to do it in 6 for the Oil and move on to meet the Panthers. These soggy conditions starting to dry up, as you heard, tomorrow afternoon. And the weekend ahead looks really sunny and warm, which is great for the Cathedral Village Arts Festival that's on. Last year, it drew almost a record. I think it was between 40 and 50,000 people. And they're really going to start to roll out the bands and all the food and the extra shopping that'll kick in tomorrow night. And that'll just continue through Friday and Saturday. It's going to be a good weekend for it as it warms up. I'm going to stay in the arts lane here for a moment, too, to share this news of how the maestro, Gordon Girard, is saying goodbye to the RSO after 10 years. Why now? What's next? I'll ask him. Gordon Gerard here with me with some answers. Buddy, thank you for taking the time, my friend. What's going on? How'd you come to this decision here?
Well, you know, 10 years is not a short amount of time, first of all. I think there's always a shelf life for a music director. And I think new ideas, new perspectives, it's good for the musicians, it's good for the audience. So 10 years felt like a good time.
It has been a good time with you over the last 10 years. You take a lot of my pot shots when you're on my show, and I've always appreciated that.
Well, I hope for your sake that the next person can do the same.
Well, I hope they have as good of a sense of humor as you have had with me here over the years. Well, let's reflect on these 10 years. Like, take me back to that first year, how you felt, what you were thinking. Do you remember that?
Yeah, actually, I've been thinking a lot about 10 years. I mean, the time flies and things are a little bit of a blur. We've come a long way since then. You know, the first time that I came here, we had some challenges. You know, we were having a hard time getting even a place to rehearse. You know, there was a lot of changeover. The orchestra is, I think now, sounding better than it ever has, which is amazing. That's my primary job. We have an amazing group of musicians. I mean, not only are they great players, but they're all really committed to what's happening here in Regina and how they can help make this place a little bit nicer.
Gordon, you had to get us through COVID, and the loss of audience was pretty immense, and you might have been signing off a little sooner than 10 years at one point, weren't you?
Yes, there were definitely some tough times in there. Of course, nobody in any field knew that a pandemic was on our dance card. We're still feeling the effect. The behavior has changed, I think, not only because of the shutdowns, but I think it sort of kicked something off. So we're still rebuilding. But you know what? We have to react. So I'm really proud of the way that we showed our resilience and the way that we became much more flexible than we ever have been. Usually we're planning, you know, years out, but this sort of forced us to be more reactive.
Gordon Gerard's my guest. The maestro is leaving town, but not immediately, right? When is your last day going to be?
Almost 1 year from now.
And you're going out with a bang. Talk about some of the new season here with us.
Yeah, so I mean, I put this season together. There were a few things in mind. There's a few pieces on there that are kind of on my bucket list that I really wanted to do with the orchestra before I hand things over. And then also some of the guest artists are just people that have been here over my last decade. And Karen Donnelly, who's the principal trumpet of the National Arts Center Orchestra from Regina. She's coming to open the season. We're going to close the season with a Mahler symphony, which is in the category of what every musician wants to play. And then the pops, of course, too. We've got ABBA. I feel like we could do an ABBA tribute every year and people would still go.
Yeah.
They love it. We're really leaning into the movies. So we've got Home Alone and Lion King this year. Lots to look forward to.
Well, it's going to be quite the season. I know you've given your heart and soul for the last 10 years to the RSO. Incidentally, how many maestro sticks have you gone through conductor sticks in the last 10 years?
That's a great question. You know, actually, I just had to get some more made because they do break. They wear out. And I was down to one measly stick left. So I got a few more made so that I can get through the next at least year or two.
What are they made of?
Well, it depends. But they're very light wood, like balsam or something like that. And they weigh almost nothing.
Do you ever wish there was some sort of a laser pointer at the tip of it that it had a button so that if someone was a little out of tune or out of step in the orchestra, you just laser them just to say, hey, 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 I see you. I hear you.
Well, you know, I think it might be handy. It may not be all that popular with the musicians. We'll save that one for later.
Well, look, I know over the next year that you're going to be with us before you leave. We're going to talk a few more times, but I just wanted to say congratulations. And if anyone wants to apply for your job, where do they go to do that?
I think the best thing to do is to drop by the RSO office.
Okay.
It is hard for me to believe this is going to be the last season, but I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, we're looking forward to spending the year with you here. Hey, thanks for checking in with us this morning and sharing the big news. And I encourage everyone, if they haven't already, some of those performances you announced here this morning are going to be sold out in no time at all. So make sure you go get your tickets, reginasymphony.com. Gordon Gerard, thank you.
Thank you. Always a pleasure.
Jobs are gone. I'm gonna be a pirate on the River Saskatchewan. And it's a heave ho, hi, coming down the plains, stealing wheat and barley.
Reminds you of Go to Rider game, I know, doesn't it? They always play that, and it is certainly getting closer as Rider training camp continues in Saskatoon. And of course, first preseason game starts Saturday in Winnipeg for the Green and White. as they'll be taking on the Bombers. Still dealing with offensive injuries, though. My goodness. Lots of injuries during training camp, and a little concerning considering how our O-line was pretty banged up last year. But another cool, wet one yesterday. The injury bug, quite a talker. First, it was Sean McEwen who was hurt, and then Philip Gagnon, who was taking reps in his spot for center. He gets hurt now. So we'll get an update, I'm sure, later with Jamie and Locker on the Green Zone. You folks in Moose Jaw this morning, remember those school zone speed limits now. They've been reduced to 30K in effect 7 a.m. till 7 p.m., 7 days a week. If you forget and you're a little over, you get a one-month grace period. They might stop you and warn you, but the grace period ends on June 20th. The Edmonton Oilers have landed in Dallas, immediately met the local press. Connor McDavid again was the first to be asked, what's the biggest challenge when you face Dallas tonight?
They're just so structured. They're deep. I mean, there's four teams left playing. All four teams are going to be deep, you know, but they, you know, I think they had 8 20-goal scorers, so they, you know, they score by committee, everybody up and down the lineup. Obviously, Rantanen's playing great. The goalie's playing great. They got a tough back end. You know, the list goes on and on of things they do well. If they're a good team, it'd be a great test.
Okay, 6 o'clock is the game time for us here tonight. Incidentally, the Stars, Saturday night after they beat the Jets, invited Wayne Gretzky into the locker room, and immediately someone asked him, who are you going to be cheering for?
Gretz, he's got to come in and say hi. Come here. Get special guest. Anybody knows how to win championships, it's this gentleman right here.
Congratulations. The greatest game in the world, and you're going to go up against one of the greatest teams ever, Edmonton. I wish you good luck.
Don't put him on the spot. Don't put him on the spot.
Hey, can we enjoy the night tonight?
Yeah. Thanks, Gretz. All right, man. Here we go. Where are we going?
Incidentally, the start of the playoffs, Gretzky had chosen the Oilers and the Panthers, like I have, to be in the Stanley Cup. And then he kind of changed after the first week. He said, maybe I think the Lightning instead of the Panthers. Okay, before I leave, I got a family pack. 2 adult passes, 2 youth passes. This is easily like a $60 saving to check out Mosaic. The Festival of Cultures is back June 5th through 7th. If you want to go for free right now, hit me up with a text. 1-877-300-7275. I'm going to take the text, the 10th text at 1-877-300-7275, okay? And I'll give you that family pack for Mosaic. Text away.